Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. How are you doing today? Welcome to our Inner Healers radio show. As you know, Inner Healers is an integrative healing concept which has been helping people for some time now. We are here today because as part of the integrative health-oriented concept that Inner Healers is, we consider that all the answers that we look for reside inside. It is by reaching inside that we can live healthy, happy lives. Those who resonate with this concept have been writing back and contacting each other, with whom we're starting a loving and caring worldwide community of like-minded souls. A company under the same name was created in Peru to help sustain both the concept and the community. We believe in broadening minds and lessening frontiers, for it's not about where we are based, but about remembering we are all inner healers. My name is Luciana Stiglich, and I will be your host today. I'm a healer, a teacher, and I've been helping people since 2005. The reason why we're here today is because we have a very, very special host. Her name is Eliana Gillett, and she will be talking to us today about what is healing music of ancient Israel. How can it be effectively used today for our modern needs? How can it help us connect us with our universal love? Eliana Gillett, born Lynn Ann Horowitz, is an internationally recognized composer of healing music, a peace activist, the founder of Voices of Eden Healing Music and Peace Center in Galilee, Israel. Since 1994, she has worked with thousands of alternative healthcare professionals, coaches, yoga teachers, birth professionals, musicians, and peace leaders, helping them learn to connect to the source of their calm within themselves as they are going through the change. As an expert in conscious use of voice and rhythm as natural healing instruments, a practice that goes back to ancient matriarchal times, her unique wordless music has been clinically researched in the neonatal ward of Mare Hospital, where physicians discovered that it's lowered blood pressure and heart rate. It also increases focus and quality of sleep. Eliana is a frequent keynote presenter and performer at international healing music, medical and peace conferences, such as the Legends of the Nonviolent Conference in 2007, where she presented alongside Aaron Gandhi, the late Yolanda King, Michael Beckwith, and James Twyman, and the International Music and Medicine Symposium in August 2010, where she will present alongside Dr. Joan Louis, director of Louis Armstrong Music and Medical Center, Beth Israel Hospital, and publisher of Music and Medicine Journal. Eliana has given concerts at the United Nations New York, UNESCO International Conference, Nazareth Israel, and the 2003 Sandwater Conference on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, where she presented alongside Dr. Masaru Emoto, featured in What the Bleep Do We Know, and author of Messages of the Water. She also performs and leads workshops at health centers, churches, and synagogues, and in yoga centers wherever she travels. Her music is featured in an upcoming documentary film, The Goddess, which is being produced by award-winning documentary film producer Emmanuel Eicher, in which she appears as an expert in the field of ancient healing and transformational music. The film is expected to air in 2011 on television. Jeanette has produced several live and recorded online courses, including the fourth part Authentic Voice course in 2009, and an educational home study system, Finding Inner Peace in Troubled Times, transformational interviews with seven living peacemakers, some of the well-known figures who are leaders of the Internet. She has published two previous books. Eliana's first book, Rhythms of the Natural Voice Workbook in 2002, is a companion to See the Rhythms of the Natural Voice in 2001. Her second book, Quiet in the Eye of the Storm, Living Peace in a War Zone, 2006, is a digital book with an accompanying audio program that was written, recorded, and self-published during the Israel-Lebanon War. Her articles have been published in international medical journals, including Music and Medicine in January 2010 and Birth Issues in Perinatal Care, June 2006. In 2009, Gillette's essay was included in the Music and Spirituality Anthology produced by Justin St. Vincent, a website that receives 100,000 hits per month. She has also written for Common Ground Middle East, a newswire service. Her blog is syndicated through Olive French, a Peace News. Eliana has produced five musical albums, Holy Music from the Holy Land, Noam, Healing Lullaby Music, Bible, Beatles, and Beyond in 2005, Voices of Eden Music for Inner Peace in 2000, and Voices of Eden Life in 2001. To make it even more special, Eliana will be announcing the winner of a free private journey of transformation with her in Israel during the call. Why is she doing this? She wants to thank your support in the next Top Spiritual Author Contest. Thanks to you, Miriam's Secret was one of the 250 titles from the over 3,000 to make it to round two. Miriam's Secret is the result of a commitment she made 20 years ago in France while singing daily on the intercity trains. It is where she received her training, pun intended, for Voice of Eden Healing Music. Providing this transformative journey to someone allows her to share the healing power of this holy land with its ancient music, which must be experienced directly. It's truly beyond words. The gift includes a two-day journey with her in the holy land, including a private transformative music ceremony in the ancient healing music site, a trip to Miriam's Well, overnight stay in Pampering Galilee guest house overlooking the Sea of Galilee, and an empowering reading from one of the most powerful wisdom healers of Galilee. I'm sure we will have lots of fun on the radio program. So please help me welcome Eliana. Eliana?
Hi.
Hi, dear. How are you today? We're so, so grateful you're honoring us today in our show.
I'm very honored to be here. Can you hear me okay?
So, thanks to you for being here. So, could you tell us a little bit about who you are for all the people, the new listeners that are here today, and what is for you healing music, and why it's so important to understand and to try to perceive with our senses ancient Israel music?
The first part of the question is, what is healing music to me? Is that what they...
The first part of the question is, if you could please tell us a little bit about yourself, about Eliana Gillette.
That biography was so long.
Well, there are many new listeners who might not have heard you today. Inner Healers is based in Peru, and as it's based in Peru, maybe some of your music has not been heard from by people who are here, and there might be people from other parts in the world who are also tuning in today who might have not heard about you very much. So I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about who is Elena Gillett? What's music for you? How come you started this journey?
Okay, sure. Welcome world. I'm very glad to meet you, whoever's listening to this program live or afterwards. I was born underneath the Hollywood sign in Los Angeles, California, in the United States, in a hospital named Cedars of Lebanon, situated exactly underneath the Hollywood sign. And I believe that was a prophecy of where my life was to lead me. I left the United States 27 years ago. As a child, six years old, I remember that I was very conscious of knowing that I had a very important role in life, and every human being does, and that it's part of our role to discover what that is. And at that time, I said, when I'm grown up, I'm going to have friends all around the world, and I'm going to go visit them. that was the same day that it was another prophecy in the ivy of my elementary school. I stood there with my hands wide open, playing as if I were Julie Andrews in the Alps, singing "The Hills Are Alive with the Sound of Music."
Wow.
Yeah. And my undergraduate degree is in Near Eastern Studies. I loved the Middle East. Though I didn't actually move to Israel until many, 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 many years later, I actually was planning to move to Israel when I was 18, or just when I was finishing college, and the day that I was to move, my father died suddenly. And that's when my spiritual journey began, when I saw his body in the casket. And I, at that point, realized what is body and soul, and that began a very long journey of inner search. And that search eventually brought me to leave the United States in a search for this calling in life. That brought me to leave Los Angeles to Paris, France, where, amongst other things, in France, I was a broadcaster for CBS Television for the 1992 Olympics. And when I worked for the Olympics, I sat next to the gentleman who read the wire services, and already at that point I had thrown out my television in order to read the media of me inside and not live life as a bystander or looking at something outside of me. It was very important for me at the time. And when I worked for that Olympics, I sat next to the gentleman who would read Reuters, UPI, AP, and he would say quite often, "You won't believe what's happening in the world. It's amazing. It's amazing." And after a while, I got up enough courage to answer him. I said, "Actually, I do know what he's going to tell me. So, I may be working here, but even though I am working in CBS, I don't own a television set myself." Oh, you don't know what's on. You don't know what's on the wire services. I said, yes, I do. He goes, no, you don't. What? Tell me. He said, well, I mean, it's always the same thing. War, rape, pillage, murder. You know, good news is a ceasefire, and it's the same story, only the names and locations change all around the world. He goes, oh, that's not true. Mm-hmm. Let's look. I said, okay. Mm-hmm. We do. Now, this is before the days of internet. And so we went onto the computer, and, you know, there were pages of just headlines, and we must have been on there for, like, I don't know, 3 minutes, 5 minutes. That's a long time. And it was just that, you know, it was, he said to me, I swear I'm going to find you your good news story. And it became this joke between us. And, of course, he never did. And during those Olympic Games, I prayed to the divine to... that I would use my voice for a higher purpose. And the result today, Voices of Eden, is that result. I mean, this is the short story.
That's very beautiful. And how could you describe music? What's music for you?
Honestly, silence.
You said, I'm sorry?
Honestly, to me, the true music is silence.
That's very interesting. That's very interesting because I read, I think it was in your blog, that you consider the music in its five parts to be it, right? One of it is silence.
Yes, yeah, that it's the first element of this healing music model because without that, we find that we operate out of automatic pilot. Not that there's anything mm-hmm. wrong with that. I mean, there's no right or wrong to anything. And mm-hmm. with that, when we do connect to silence first, all sound emanates from the silence. So that when we connect to silence, if we stop long enough, then we can hear and truly listen to the source of harmony. And mm-hmm. when we connect to the source of harmony, it results in harmony. If we mm-hmm. constantly attune to that,
mm-hmm.
find that that really is the most significant element of music. If you think about mm-hmm. it, sounds that we hear in any kind of music, anywhere in the world, however it's produced, it's actually the result of what's been played. Whether it's a human being, you know, with a human voice, whether it was an instrument, whether it's a synthesizer, no matter what, that's the after effect of how we play the instrument.
So you would say that silence helps us focus, right?
Yes. And think about it, you know, if there's what also creates music is the silence between the notes. If there were no silence between the notes, it would just be noise.
Right. And what about the long silence, single note?
The long single note?
Yeah.
Well, for those who are listening also, this healing music model has five elements, the first of which is silence and focus, and the second is this long single note, which provides a sense of security. If you imagine a baby suckling at his or her mother's breast, and the baby hears mother breathing, and that reminds baby of the sound that he heard in utero. And this provides a sense of focus as well, and a sense of confidence. And when we use a long single note, that we do actually unconsciously a lot of times. Sometimes when we hum or it's one note or, you know, one breath and it calms us. And if we use it consciously, in very simple things, we can really make a shift to both our inner consciousness and our outer consciousness.
And could you talk to us about a little about the heartbeat? How come the heartbeat influences on us?
How heartbeat influences us?
The heartbeat that's within, yes.
Heartbeat is the third element of this model, and it's a natural metronome. It also provides a sense of safety. It provides a sense of continuity. And, if you imagine that same baby, at mother's breast, or a baby in utero who hears already at 16 weeks, is hearing a heartbeat. And in music, in the native Indian music, even the drum, they call the drum, and the rhythm is the heartbeat, is the mother drum. In ancient music, in the Eastern world, there's generally a drone, which is the long single note, and then there's a rhythmic element that's an ostinato that repeats itself, that's circular. And the two, they intertwine together, like heartbeat and breath. In our biology. And when we have heartbeat and in music, it allows for us to focus more deeply, to breathe more deeply. And we have that sense of calm, that sense of safety. When we feel safe, we can let go.
So would you say that the heartbeat helps us into building confidence?
Yes, definitely. Building confidence, building a sense of inner safety. For example, what would be a situation where you could use these elements in a practical means? Say, say you're having trouble focusing. Okay, maybe you're sitting at your computer and clicking away either on the email or on a social network, or working on something, and this tendency that we have to do one more thing, or just accomplish one more thing, or get the next thing done, the sense that if I do one more thing, then I'll be at ease. Only usually leads to more of one more thing, and then exhaustion. Whereas if we take these simple elements that we've just spoken about now, with the heartbeat, first beginning with stopping for a moment, which is silence and focus, and then you could place your finger on your pulse and just listen to your heartbeat. And just by listening to that, automatically winds you down and refocuses you without saying anything, without investing anything, just stopping for a moment. Now, of course, this is meaningless what I'm saying. I invite you to try it. It's really fun.
I will do it in my meditation classes. I'll ask my students to do it and see what happens. What could you tell us about rhythm?
About rhythm. Rhythm in this music model is generally from the Eastern world, and it's usually circular also. And in the instance of rhythm, once there is silence and focus, and a long single note, you know, creating that safety, and a heartbeat that's creating that confidence, then the rhythm provides constancy. You know, think about going in for the long haul of something. You know, we pace ourselves, right? Or like a marathon runner. You know, they don't just sprint forward. There's like a formula. They say like to every sprint, they're like, let's say they're 10 rounds or 10 laps, that 9 laps will be at a slow and steady pace, and then the 10th one will be, shoo, you know, the fast one. You know, it's that steadiness that allows for the accomplishment of the last one, where you can give it your all. Does that make sense?
So, yes, so it has to do with stability.
Exactly. No, that's great. Yes, stability and constancy and staying with it. You know, and sometimes in the Eastern approach to music, and when I say Eastern approach to music, I'm referring to the East being from Northern Africa, you know, Morocco, Tunisia, Algeria, you know, Northern Africa to the Middle East, to the Mediterranean, you know, Turkey, Macedonia, you know, parts of Greece, to Central Asia, to India. The sense of rhythm, it may change. I just lost my train of thought for a moment. We were speaking about constancy and rhythm.
Mm-hmm. And what can you tell us about melody?
I'm sorry?
What can you tell us about melody?
Oh, about melody.
Yes.
Melody. So once we have the foundation of silence and focus, and that sense of safety from a long single note and the heartbeat, and then a constancy of rhythm that gives us pace, then that's a foundation upon which we can sing. You know, there's a melody with a foundation beneath it, so that the whole, you know, maybe think of it as a house. You know, we can build a beautiful castle on sand, but the moment that a wave crashes upon the castle of sand, there's no foundation underneath the castle, and it washes away. Same thing here. When we have melody without a foundation, well, it's nice, but we don't really ground in it. Whereas when we have that foundation of focus in silence, and these very simple elements that provide us with a sense of safety, then we have that confidence to be able to authentically express ourselves. And each person has his or her own melody. And there's no right or wrong. And unfortunately, so many of us, in our modern world, maybe over the last 1,500 years, 200 years, I don't even think it's 200 years. I think the last 50 to maximum 100 years. You know, we've learned to disconnect from our natural musical tendencies and not to sing. Or, singing is a performance. And our most natural expression is singing. Think of a baby who's born. You know, our first communication is that song, you know, our crying, and there are no two cries alike.
So do you think that maybe melody helps us achieve joy?
Helps us to create joy?
Yes.
Definitely. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. So the song we were listening to, part of it we were listening to when we started the show, it's called Cosmic Melody. And people can, if they subscribe to your newsletter, they can find it on your webpage, yes?
Yes, it's downloadable for free. And it's also it includes a free 5-day course as well, a stress release course. And there are some very, very nice exercises in there, also for increasing focus. And some very nice vocal exercises as well. But there's no need to be a singer or have any type of professional background whatsoever. The whole intent of Voices of Eden Music is to support us in connecting with our authentic voice and expressing it. And it's called Voices of Eden as an experiment of creation of Eden, which to me is what will happen when each and every one of us connects to our natural and authentic voice, and we express that. And we hear each authentic expression, and together that forms a unified whole. And that's what's beautiful about these very simple elements that allow multiple expressions, either from one person or two people or a group of people. This model is built upon medical research that we've done in a neonatal ward, and it's so exciting to listen to mothers singing, you know, and in a place where you would never think, you know, in an intensive care unit, you would not think that, you know, sounds of silence or, you know, sounds of harmony, but we do, and it's quite beautiful. And this is in a intensive care unit that is 50-50 Jewish Arab as well. It's really a living example of peace, and it exists.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely, so melody and the creation of harmony.
So this is an ancient healing and transformational music meditation. How would you describe the way in which music affects our body? I mean, I know that our body is made up of 70% water, right? So how would you say this music affects ourselves?
That's an excellent question. Again, back to this first element of the silence and focus. If we look at the essence of all matter, you know, the atom, right? It's vibratory. The essence of all matter, you know, atoms create energy. And if the essence of the atom is vibratory, this shows us that the essence of all matter is music. Everything vibrates, then our bodies vibrate. This is how in medicine, in the medical world, this is how ultrasound works. You know, we're using a sound. So it's a computer, you know, forget about the essence. It measures the vibratory rate of the tissue inside and then boomerangs back through the machine, through the computer to a camera. And, you know, physically on the screen. And music itself, again, you asked at the beginning, what is, you know, like, what's the most important music, or, you know, how do I sing music? I said silence. Because really, it's the essence of, you know, all the music is in the silence. So that when we connect to the source of the silence, or the source of the mute, it's the source of all, including ourselves. So that when we consciously make music from this place, it absolutely has an effect upon both our mind, body, and spirit. And to see whether what I, you know, knew intimately or sensed was so, to prove it physically. And, you know, after 4 years of research, you know, physically, this model has proven to lower blood pressure, heart rate, increased focus, and quality of sleep. You know, any way that we use our body as an instrument, our voices as an instrument. You know, opera singers can do it. They can, you know, on physical matter, they can break glass. Okay? That's a destructive use of sound. And I don't mean destructive by judging. I mean, you know, there's a physical glass and the sound is used to break the glass. In the same way, sound may be used to construct as well. That's the intent of the use of this music.
Mm-hmm. And how would you say that this music can be effectively used today for our modern needs?
For those who suffer from sleep disorders, you know, find difficulty going to sleep, counting sheep doesn't work. Or the other numerous techniques for going to sleep, and it just does not work. This music does. In fact, we're in the midst of a recording project right now, and it's always a challenge to go into the recording studio because I always put the technicians to sleep. And they say, well, you know, usually that's a bad sign, but here it's good news, and we need to change shifts now because this music just puts us to sleep. It really has a drowsing effect. On the other hand, the use of the rhythm grounds the body so that HDD, ADD, HDD for attention disorders, it's also very good. There are rhythms and certain pieces that relax, well, it's all relaxing, but there's certain that slow down the pace and others for waking up the pace, yet all focused. Another great use for this music is to address depression. You know, in ancient times, in the mental hospitals and in hospitals, musicians were brought in after dinner. The prescription was to listen to music for some to sleep and for the addressing of depression. And there are all kinds of psychological humor.
Mm-hmm. So, do you work with or do you know about the six Ophidia frequencies?
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
Yes. Do you know about or do you work with the solfeggio frequencies?
The something frequencies, I didn't hear the word before.
The solfeggio frequencies?
The solfeggio frequencies.
Yes.
Yes, in fact, the cosmic melody is at 5. It's at 5:28 hertz. It's recorded in 5:28.
Mm-hmm. So could you tell us a little bit about the solfeggio frequencies? How do they? How are they? What are they? How do they work?
Well, from what I understand, and I'm not, there are people who understand much, to much greater depth than I. And if you're looking for really to go into depth, I would suggest that you look up Leonard Horowitz in Hawaii. Dr. Leonard Horowitz, he is brilliant in this area. But suffice to say that there are. This is my understanding. This is not what I've read. But this is what I've concluded given experience in other areas and what I've experienced with the solfeggio. That there are. If we go back to the silence and that everything is vibrating at a frequency, right?
Yes.
Let's say even Earth compared to air, all right? Earth is a lower frequency, right? Bass tones in music are Earth. Right? Ding 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 ding. It's like that's grounded. The Indians have in their dance, because that's close to the earth. It's a lower tone, whereas higher frequencies, think about a bird singing, it's a high frequency. Solfeggio, the earth rotates at a certain frequency. And somewhere, with 100 hertz is not a lot. There have been frequently the Earth's rotation has been measured to certain frequencies. It's not specifically 528. I'm at 486, if I'm correct. This gets into a really, really complicated discussion, scientific discussion. if I can make it simple, if we take the Western musical scale. If you look at a piano, the white keys and the black keys,
the black ones, yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. They're full tones, and the black keys are the half tones in between, right? A full tone and half tone. And in an octave, they're 12 tones. Let's just take the interval between Do and Re, or C and D. You don't have to understand music. It's one tone, right? One full tone. Divided into half. Like the C sharp or the D flat. Are you home? Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So in the Eastern world, if you take that same interval, that same tone, instead of being divided into two, it's divided into between 9 and 13 parts. That means, and the human ear can hear at the level of, let's say, at the 13th, called a coma. It's the name of this little part. Animals here at the level of scent, C-E-N-T. Sometime on computer programs, you'll see you'll see next to the volume, it'll say scent. It's something that our human ears cannot hear. It's vibratory. It's hertz. so that these hurts, they're divided into tiny, you know, tiny particles that we don't necessarily hear. That does not mean that there's not sound. And the solfeggio scale and other scales are based upon these finer frequencies. And the cosmic melody I compose to the sound of what has been measured as the vibratory rate of the Earth's rotation. And it's neither C sharp or D flat. It's somewhere in between. It's not exact. Again, Western music is exact. It's something that was mentally manipulated. And again, it's not right or wrong. It's just a very, very different focus. I hope I was able to explain in my very elementary ability to do so. I hope that made sense.
Actually, it was a very good explanation. So that would be why, for example, the note Mi is played in 528 hertz.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, I get it. Okay, so we have 14 minutes left of the show. I would like to make you one more question, and it has to do with... actually, I think we might, if you have time some other day, continue with the interview because it's very interesting, and I'm sure that the people who are listening are very, very interested in everything you're saying. But the time has, like, rushed by. So could you tell us a little bit about the contest that you are working on? I think it's called Next Top Spiritual Author, right?
Well, actually, I was really blessed to be one of 250 out of 3,000 authors to make it to the second round of the Next Top Spiritual Authors Contest with the book that I'm writing called Miriam's Secret. And Miriam,
mm-hmm. So for the people that do not know about this, you are writing a book which is called Miriam's Secret, yes?
Yes, and Miriam's Secret is a book that is a result of a commitment that I made 20 years ago when I was living in France to bring this material out, and it's the result of these last 20 years of walking this walk to... revive this ancient use of therapeutic singing, which in ancient times was used as a natural healer, such as the prophetess Miriam, such as in ancient Egypt and in the ancient world, really all over. And particularly in these parts in northern Israel, where over 4,000 statuettes have been found of women playing frame drums, thousands of percussion instruments, shakers and rattles have been found, and they have generally been found in archaeological sites in homes. At home altars, which the archaeologists and historians suggest that they were used in concert with women's ritual or with birth rituals. And this makes perfect sense since we have hieroglyphics from ancient Egypt that show, for example, in the Temple of Memphis, show women on one side playing frame drums and on the other side excuse me, I'm thinking in Hebrew right now.
It's okay. Take your time.
Bells. or the sistrum, or with finger symbols, or symbols, and it makes perfect sense to me. I'm thrilled to be blessed with the role to put the pieces of this puzzle back together to bring back this ancient form. Now, the point isn't to bring back the ancient form, because how do we really know? I mean, people ask me, how do you know what they did then? Well, that's not really the point. It's really, how can we consciously use our voice and use very simple elements in a way that's healing for us? And that's really the issue, you know, for today's youth. Simple use of voice, no words, bypasses intellect, simple use of rhythm, ground, if we just stop long enough to recommit. And so the book ties back together the history, you know, how this was used in the past, how it's being used today. It speaks of our research in the neonatal ward and other research that's been done around the world. And it exercises this very simple explanation of how people can use this for healing. Any numerous panoply of situations, from the physical to the spiritual.
Mm-hmm. And is this book ready? Have you published it already? Can people buy it?
It has not been published yet. It's in the process of being written. For those who are interested, you can go to my website, which is voicesofeden.com. Which there, the book preceding it is Quiet in the Eye of the Storm, which you referred to beforehand, that refers to this subject matter as well. It's in both a written book and an audio book that I wrote during the 2006 war in northern Israel. It's when I put this model to very practical use while bombs were blasting all around. Well, it's all fine and good, all fine and dandy to speak about, you know, inner peace through music, but you know what happens when hell is breaking loose, when war is breaking loose? I mean, where am I going to run to? You take yourself with you wherever you go. So I really applied this and recorded it too. It's just really amazing. Very powerful in its teeth. And there's stories along with exercises as well that going through change, or where things are less than peaceful and you want to connect with your inner calling. To invite your listeners to the site, and of course there's the music that's downloadable for free, and other music that is available through the site, and the courses as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have a caller. Let's give him or her a chance to talk to you just a minute before we announce the winner. And
I just want to say that the winner, what I'm announcing tonight is I had a raffle for everyone who voted for this book to enter a raffle for a free transformational journey with me in Israel, where I do this on a combination of personal coaching and guidance in bringing people to these places where the music was made and it's very, very powerful. So a lucky winner will be receiving this in addition to a overnight stay in an amazing guest house overlooking the Sea of Galilee and a personal composition, healing music composition from me on the site of the healing music site. Mystical reading from a very, very powerful healer in Galilee.
Yeah, it's a wonderful press. I actually want to take one. Is it something you usually offer for people who, you know, might be interested in this as well?
Yes, it's on the website under Transformational Journey. And I also, I organize special musical tours for people who bring groups to Israel. Or for people who come on their own to Israel, I take people to these sites and show them the peaceful side of Israel that doesn't get reported in media.
So you give it both in an individual way or also in a group way, yeah?
Yes. Shall we take the question or shall I announce the winner right now and then we take the question?
What about having them wait a little bit longer and answering the call, because this person has been on the line, I guess, for most of the show. So let me see if we can find this person. Hello there. Oh, I guess this person just hung up. So, oh, poor, because he has been here for a long time. But, well, he has hung up. And we have 4 minutes left in the show. So would you like to announce the winner?
Yes. Oh, I'm thrilled. Hey,
this is so exciting. It's like I'm nervous, you know.
I'm very, very, very excited to. I'm just so excited about this whole process. I'm really grateful for it. I'm very grateful to my editor Stephanie Gunning, who told me about the contest to begin with. It really pushed me forward with this book. And I'm grateful for the entire process because it has enabled me to deepen my commitment. And the process of going through that contest also got me to clarify more deeply what it is that I actually am offering to the public. I'm making more of a commitment myself to authentically express my power, and that's a real gift. So the winner of the raffle is Renee Baribault, who herself is an author. She, too, was in this contest, and she very graciously made a group, or you can visit it on Facebook. It's called Spirit Authors. And her book is The Practical Shaman. And I'm so happy that she's winning this because I remember when she sent in her email to the raffle, I just felt, she said, I really want to win this. And something inside of me really stirred. I would suggest looking up her book. I think it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful book. It's called The Practical Shaman, and she is the founder of Desert Holistic Network. And congratulations, Renee. I really, really look forward to your coming to Israel. I mean, contact me. I will be sending an email. I don't know whether you're on the show or not, but I will be sending out an email to let you know.
That is just wonderful. I mean, I really want to, you know, clap for her because everything that you're saying.
Yeah, she
yes. Because she must be, you know, she must be at home listening right now, just glued.
Yeah, so Renee, you have won a transformational journey here for the Hebrew shaman.
Congratulations, Renee, you did it. You made it.
You'll have amazing shamanic food in the Middle East. And he's staying in an amazing place and having a reading that will just blow your socks off.
That's just wonderful.
Yeah.
Wow. And I actually envy you just a little bit.
Wow. Well, thank you very, very much. I really, really enjoyed being with you today, and I'll be.
Thank you, Lena. You're a sweetheart. You're really, really, really cute. You're very loving and cute, so. And actually, for the people who are listening, I've been following Eliana for quite a bit now, for some years. I knew about her through the web, miraculously, and I've been following her work in the distance, you know. And actually, one of my dreams is to go to Israel someday and meet her in person. So when she said that it was, yes, and so when she said that, actually the first time I contacted her was when we just opened Inner Healers. Actually, when we decided to build it into the concept, because Inner Healers started as a therapy room in 2005, but it was only in 2008 that we decided to make a company out of it, you know, and build it as a concept and try to find ways to help other people in every part of the world listen to their inner self through whatever technique people would choose to, you know. So that was the first time I contacted Eliana, and I asked her if she would like to be part of our initial website where I placed all the people I had been following for so long, and she accepted. So I kept on checking her, you know, her work. Her work is really, really amazing. Actually, she inspired me to make my first sound healing workshop because I've had this passion for sound since always.
Wow.
And so one of my personal dreams is to be able to go to Israel or bring Eliana to Peru or do something together. So who knows? When she accepts to be on the show, it was like, oh my God, she'll be on the show and she'll be talking about everything she knows and sharing her own light with all the people that will be listening, you know, online and also on demand, because this show will actually be placed on our Blog Talk Radio website, you know, and I will do some other things with it afterwards, so that many, many people can be able to listen to her, because I really believe in her work, I really believe in what she says, and I really believe in what she's been doing so far, even though I haven't met her in person. I haven't, you know, worked with her directly. I really love her work, and I'm very glad that she's joined us today and that she's joined her light to all the light of all the people that are around us right now, trying to help people to connect inside, to listen to their inner self, you know. So when she talked about silence, for example, it had to do with it. And my last question would be, how do you relate all of this with universal love, Eliana?
First of all, we're expressing my universal love towards you. Thank you so much. I feel so honored and inspired. And I remember when you began and first contacted me, and your work has been so beautiful, and to watch the evolvement is very inspiring. And I would love to come to Peru. Would be wonderful. last Friday, I gave a program to 70 people from Spanish-speaking countries, many of them from Peru, actually.
Really?
Side of Galilee, yes. Yes. So I'm something, maybe something stirring here.
y hablaba en español hace mucho, mucho tiempo.
Oh, my God! Oh, my God!
En Los Ángeles. Nací en Los Ángeles. Mi segundo idioma es español. Me gustaría mucho, 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 mucho hablar en español.
¡Qué maravilla! Quizá el próximo show lo podamos hacer en español. It would be really wonderful.
A ver. Well, that's how it connects to universal love. Porque el amor es el centro del todo, del todo. Entonces, el silencio está en el centro, el centro del todo.
Uh-huh. El centro de nosotros, de quiénes somos, claro.
Yeah, I don't. Should I continue speaking in Spanish or
YouTube?
We're on the radio.
The show is for you, for whatever you feel to give others.
That actually is something I love about living in Israel. You know, people are from all over the world, and most people speak many languages, such that if I have the freedom here to express myself creatively, whatever language works most for me, in whatever word I'm wanting to express, one sentence may be a combination of four languages, and no one will raise an eyebrow. They may not understand all of it, but if they get the gist, it's enough. I love that.
Yes, that's wonderful. Because actually, it's only, it's only like languages separating us, but in the end, we're just the same. That's one of the things that I it was part of my speech when I just opened Inner Healers to the World. I think that I really believe that we are all just the same, you know. We are all looking for the same, which is love. And we are looking for love everywhere because we are love. And we always want more of what we are. So that's why we're looking for love, because that's what we are in the end.
Well, you're a beautiful example of it.
Oh, you are so cute. You see, you're the sweetest ever.
You're a beautiful expression of it.
Yes, and everybody else is as well.
Yep. That's the truth. In whatever form it comes.
Right. Right. And so are animals.
Even the forms that we don't, we wouldn't understand that that's actually love. If we look deep enough, that's the essence there. I really learned that so much living in the Middle East. During that war, and writing that book, Quiet in the Eye of the Storm. One day, when I really didn't know whether I was going to get out alive, I'm like, no, but we all want peace, we want love. And this voice says, well, if you peace and war flip sides of the same coin, are you willing to accept war? And all
right.
The side of yourself? Because the extent that you cannot, that you're unable to accept the war in you or outside of you, that you're unable to accept peace, true peace.
Right, definitely. And actually, everything that's manifesting in the outside is just a reflection of what we are. So if we are not in our own peace, then war will still exist, because it's a manifestation of ourself, of our own inner war.
Yeah, and like you said before, underneath it all, underneath that, beyond that, that's still at a level of peace and war. It's a level of duality. Underneath that is this calm that's imperturbable. It cannot be disturbed. And you say, you know, again, that's, you know, the silence, that's where the true harmony is. That's the music, capital P, capital M.
L, yeah, that's all right.
L, capital M.
You're so nice, God. Well, Eliana, we have to end the show, and I really, really want to give you this big hug, which I'd love to give it to you in person, but for now, I'll have to just send it to you through the universe. I hope you feel it, and I really want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being here, for, you know, being, for actually living in this time with us, for helping all the people you are helping in the way you are doing, for living where you are, for sharing what you are with others, and for doing it today through our show as well. So thank you very much, and blessings be your way.
Thank you.
Thank you, Eliana, and hope to talk to you again soon.
Bye-bye.
Have a blessed day. Take care. Bye-bye.